Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to people all over the world through his biblical teachings and sermons. You will experience that truth from God's Word in today's message. Now let's join Pastor Salem.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're so happy now God has brought us through another week. Here we are. We're gathering around the throne of grace. We're gathered scattered all over the world. And yet, by God's grace and the Holy Spirit, we're all at the feet of Jesus. And we're worshiping him together. And isn't that beautiful? Oh, dear Lord. And today I have a sermon that I know you're going to like. It's called, There is Pure Gold in the Fire. And what we're talking about is where James tells us that we're going to go through the fire. And he says, count it a joy when you enter the fire and the trials of life. And we're going to see how that helps us, to refines us, and makes us better believers, better followers, better children of the Lord. So we'll get to that in a minute. But first of all, I want to read from some of the letters that you've given us. And we just have so many good letters, and we just want to thank you so much. And let me share some of them here. Here's one we get from Casper, Wyoming. And this lady writes, I listen each Sunday. I'm old and feel so useless and so alone. Please pray for me. May this help some. So many need prayer. And you know, that's what we need to do, is to pray for one another. And I think every service we have, we pray for the shut-ins and the lonely. And not always the old people. There are many young people that are lonely and left out. And many of them turn to drugs and suicide and all so many things. They're left out and they're lonely and they're filled with despair. It's not just the old people. We all need Jesus. Wonderful Jesus, who will help us through the hard times of life. Then here's a letter from Kawasaki City, Japan. And this is a dear man, and he watches us, the Christian Worship Hour, but he gets us on shortwave radio. And you know, shortwave radio, we cover 90% of the world population. And there are a lot of people that don't have a television. They can't afford a television. But many, many people, most have some little shortwave radio. And so wherever they are scattered over the globe, you can get the message, the good news of the gospel. And here's a dear man in Japan, and he writes this. Dear sirs, it is with great pleasure that I report reception of your broadcasting station. Details of your programs proving that I really heard your station. Program the Christian Worship Hour. There's a religious talk by a male minister about the support for life by Jesus, see? He says, your signal was strong. There was no interference. There I could receive your broadcasting in good condition. Please reply, signing the enclosed verification card. And so we're happy that we've written to this man, and that we've sent him literature on accepting Jesus, who Jesus is, and how you need to have Jesus. And you pray for these people. Whenever we get a letter from anywhere in the world, we always answer that letter and always send them the gospel, the good news of the gospel. And then there's one other from Portland, Oregon. And this lady writes, my mother listened to you without fail every Sunday morning till she passed away. Many Sundays, she and I would sit together in front of the TV at 9 a.m. to hear your message. When she finally had to move to the local nursing home, I would hear your message being broadcast as I walked down the halls. So many people in Wakefield, Northeast, listened to you, and it warmed my heart. So for all the people who have heard you and love you, I want to help keep your message heard through the country. You're a blessing to all of those who are unable to attend church. May God bless you as you continue to spread the word. And isn't that great, because we do hear from so many homes, the retirement homes, and that's their service. They have that on, and that's their service that we worship every Sunday or every weekend, sometimes it's Saturday and different days of the week. But it's always that we're talking about Jesus and the Word of God, the Bible. That's all there is to it. It's no denomination. It's just God's Word, and that's where the power is. So now if you'd like to get out, we have a little book, that a little Bible study that we put out, and that we put that out every month. And we'll have one called, it's called The New Song, The New Song. And if you'd like to get that new song, it's free and postpaid. Or if you want some CDs or DVDs, we have that. Or if you want to make a gift to us, we need your help. You can do that. You can write to us, The Christian Worship Hour. The Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And here's something else. If you want to send a gift anywhere in the world, you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. ChristianWorshipHour.com. And then you can put on there, donate PayPal, and you can send gifts to help us in the work, and we'd appreciate that. So we'd love to hear from you. And the more we hear from you, the more we like it. And let me say this too before I forget, that when you send a gift to the Christian Worship Hour, you can know that it goes over 90% goes to radio television time. And we are in audited, and we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And they check our books. They audit our books. And they see that we receipt every letter, every check we get, every gift we get. And then they also watch where we spend the money, that we spend it where we say we're spending it. And that's just to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only investment we have. No cars and homes and houses and boats and all the rest of it. It's all to the glory of God. So you need to pray about that and perhaps help us in the work. Now we want to look at the words of James. And he says in James chapter 1 and verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Now, when you first read that, it sounds ridiculous. It says, have joy in your troubles. But remember, this is in the inspired word of God. This is something God has sent. And so let's look at it again. This is God speaking. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, the trials of life. And I'm going to tell you, they come on all people of all ages. They come on us because we're human beings. And every one of us, the good and the bad. God sends the rain on the good and the evil, and he sends the troubles and the trials and the blessings. He sends it all to the same. And what we have to do, we have the both the good and the bad have their troubles and their sickness and their cancer and their disappointments. And so when the troubles and trials of life come upon us, it's the evil and the good. I want to say this too, that I think for Christians, they have extra number of troubles and trials. Because when we accept Jesus Christ, we leave the kingdom of darkness, this kingdom of Satan, and we enter the kingdom of light of Jesus Christ. And we're now no longer the devil's child. We're God's child. As many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the children of God. And so, because we belong to Jesus, the devil hates us all the more. So we're going to have our troubles and trials. But what we need to remember is that when these things come upon us, that it means that God is working with us. And he's working to bring some good out of it and to bring some good joy out of it. And to make us a better Christian. And to make us more useful in the service of the kingdom. And to refine us. And so these troubles and trials all have a reason, all have a purpose. Peter talks about these troubles and trials in his first letter. He says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Now, Jesus never tricked his followers into following him and thinking it would be a Sunday school picnic. We have those people who say, "Oh, if you accept the Lord and you're in God's will, you'll always have a job and you always have good health. Everything will break just right from you." You don't get that in the Bible. What did Jesus say? He says, "In this world you'll have trials and tribulations." But he says, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And that's what he's telling us here. There's going to be tribulations. And in John 16, verse 33, and the Lord says, "In the world you shall have tribulation." and Satan. Paul warned us of all of the converts. Everybody that comes to Jesus and follows Jesus, he warns them. And he says in Acts 14, verse 22, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So God didn't invite us to a Sunday school picnic. It's a battleground, not a playground. And you'll have the devil to fight you as long as you live. And just remember this too, the devil doesn't play fair. He's strong and he's crafty and he's dirty and he pulls every little trick he can in the book. And so you just be ready for a battle. But it'll never be too big because God will never give us more than we can bear. He'll never let us be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. He'll help us. You remember the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace? And the fire was burning like fury, but it never burned them up. And so you may be in the middle of troubles and trials today, but they're never going to consume you. They're never going to have victory over you because there's going to be one with you. The three Hebrew children, there was a fourth person. That was Jesus in his pre-incarnate form. He was walking with them. And Jesus is with you with the troubles and trials of life. Oh, praise his wonderful name. Now, the thing that we need to remember of this is this, that the trials of life have a definite purpose. And you see, he says he's going to have the troubles and trials, and he goes like this, knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect worth, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. And God is telling us that you're going to have troubles and trials, but it is all for your refinement. It is all for your betterment. And I think about my mother. I had a sainted mother, and sometimes she'd have to give me a spanking. And I remember one time she washed my mouth out with soap because I sassed her. And I'm going to tell you, my mother's soap, she didn't buy it down at the store. She made it. You know how they used to make soap? Lye and lard and ashes. And when they put that on a rag in your mouth, you knew that you didn't have Camay soap or some sweet-smelling soap. But my mother did that because she didn't want me to use slang or she didn't want me to sass her. She wanted to teach me authority. And so it's for my good that I had those troubles and trials. Well, that's what God is doing. He loves us, and so he's doing it to bring out the good. He's bringing it to bring out the gold. You see, the Greek word for this tempting and trying is, it is not used to seduce us. It's not to lead us into sin. It's not to destroy us. But the troubles and trials and the hardships that we go through in this world, well, that is to make us and test us to make us stronger, to make us purer, to make us more godlike. And that is the purpose for the troubles and the trials and the testings and the temptations of life. And James says, just count it as joy because these things are testing you to make you stronger. And he sends it because he loves you. In Hebrews 12, God tells us, well, he chastens every child that he receives. And he does it because he loves us. And that chastening isn't a joy at the present time, but it'll yield a good fruit. And that's what it did in my life. It kept me from becoming a drunkard and all of these other things and a gambler because my mother laid down the line and she chastened me and kept me straight. And God bless her. I owe her so much. And that's what God is doing with all of his children. He's trying to make us better, stronger, cleaner. And so you see the tests come. You see that when a young bird tests its wings, the mother pushes it out of the nest and it flutters and it flies and it finally flies and it tests its wings. She doesn't push that thing out into the trials of life to see if it's going to die, but to see that it's going to fly. And all of these things came from a reason. You see that when God told Abraham, take Isaac over on Mount Moriah there, and I want you to sacrifice him. Well, he doesn't do that to torment Abraham, but he did to test his faith. Abraham, do you trust me? Do you follow me? And so God leads and shows us. So we face disappointments, and we so face sorrows and trials and hardships and sickness. And many of you shut-ins know what I'm talking about, and you're having a struggle in life. But it's all for God's glory. And when it's all done, oh, you'll be so glad you went through the furnace, you went through the fire. What a wonderful Savior. And you know something else, we can be tested in other ways too. When they laugh at you for being a Christian, when they laugh at you and say that because you won't drink or you won't gamble or you won't get in with some of these things of the world, when they call you old-fashioned behind the times or they call you square, they make fun of you. They did that to me when I was in high school, 1938, 39, graduated in 40 by some miracle. And I had a pastor, Paul E. Boomer, and he said, if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to stand against the tide. You can't go downstream. A dead fish goes downstream. A live fish goes upstream. And you're going to have to stand in the battles and on the school, all through school. You know what they called me? Rev. And they weren't being really nice to me, you know, and say, oh, we got to be nice to him. They're making fun of me. Rev. See, that's my name. Well, you know, that taught me something. And it taught me that all through life is to just stand true to the Lord and take a lick for the Lord. And it never hurt me a bit. It only made me stronger and more determined. And that's what the troubles and trials, when you come out of that, you're going to come out like pure gold. You're going to go in with a lot of imperfections, but you're going to come out shining and beautiful for Jesus. But there'll be some that will lose their faith. They'll give up. They'll go back into the world. What did Paul say in 2 Timothy 4:10? He said, Demas has left me. He loved the good things of this life and went to Thessalonica. So that's going to happen. Some are going to begin with the Lord and they're not going to be able to stand the test. They're going to be like Demas and they're going to leave off and they're going to drop off. And that shouldn't dishearten us. When we see that happen, shouldn't dishearten us. Just the opposite. It should make us more determined and say, I put my hand to the plow and I'm going to stay there and I'm going to work with it until the day is done. And so we do. And oh, my dear Lord, I think of some people. I see some of these athletes, especially in football, and they want to be strong. They want to be powerful. And so what do? Oh, they lift weights and they do exercises and they just work their heads off. I think they call it pumping iron. That's what I heard one of them say, pumping iron, see. But what he means, they lift and they push and they pull and they press and they puff and they grunt and they ache. And why? And they put that body through torment. They want to make it strong so they can carry that ball and make that touchdown. I want the troubles and trials of life too, to build character and to make me stronger and to help me so that I can beat other battles and make other victories and be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And so send them on. And you know, every time you have a victory, it makes you stronger. These boys that are with these men that are working on football, every time they lift a weight a little more and a little more, they get stronger, stronger, see? And every time you win, a temptation comes. And every time you're victorious over that temptation, you become stronger. We used to sing a song, and it went like this. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, he'll carry you through. Shun evil companions, bad language disdain, God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true. Look ever to Jesus, he'll carry you through. To him that o'ercometh, God giveth a crown. Through faith we shall conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus, because he'll carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to help you. He will carry you through. And so here's this wonderful Jesus, and he will carry us through, and he will help us, and we'll have a character. Our character will be stronger. Our behavior will be better. Our faith will be better. Our love will be deeper, and we will shine for Jesus, and we'll be better fitted for more battles. And he'll trust us in a little battle. And before you know it, you'll be leading a great battle against Satan and sin because you were faithful and true to the Lord, following him and loving him. And so our troubles and trials of life not only do make us stand true to God, but it brings glory to God when he has his servants serving him and they stand up and do that work for the Lord. And it's an honor to Christ and it's a help to others. And there are people that are going to look into others. And so how are we going to handle these battles of life? How are we going to get through them? Well, first of all, when these setbacks come, when these sorrows come upon us, the temptations come upon us, this is what God tells us to do. When you're in that battle, you don't know what to do. Here it is, James, and it's verses 5-8. And he says in James chapter 1, 5-8, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is stable in all of his ways. And what God is telling us here is simply this. Pray to God for wisdom. When the struggles and the battles come, and they'll be real, and they'll come, then you go to Jesus and say, Dear Jesus, now how do I handle this? How am I going to get through this? Give me help now. And Jesus will always do that. And God will take you and he'll help you. But he says, never doubt. He says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Never doubt God. Believe God. And then when you have to go to him and you ask him, he'll help you through. But just believe him. Never stop believing. You remember Peter when he was out in the storm? And then they thought that Jesus was way off on this mountain somewhere off praying. And they thought they were going to die and they were scared. And they prayed and they looked and then they saw Jesus walking on the water. And Jesus wasn't way off on the mountain atop over there. He was walking by the boat right by them, just a little ways off. And they saw him and wouldn't know what. And Peter said, Oh, Jesus, let me walk on water too. Let me walk to you. And Jesus says, come. And I remember Mother used to read that Bible story, and I can still see that little boat, and Peter is right by the boat, and he's sinking. Now, I don't think that's a good picture, because I think Peter actually walked on the water, too. He got out of that boat, and he got walking to Jesus, and he was walking on the water. Peter walked on the water, and then he saw the waves, and then he saw the tempest, and then he saw the storm. And he took his eyes off Jesus and he started to sink. See, God is teaching us. Jesus is telling us, keep your eyes on Jesus. Get that Bible out and read that Bible and believe it when you read it. Don't just read words and when you're done say, now what was that all about? If you can't remember, just write down what you read. When you read a verse or two, write down what that verse is saying to you. But read that Bible and pray and do it every day. And if you're in a battle, in a struggle, do it all day long. Be in an attitude of prayer, looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, to help us through. Look to Jesus, serve him, please him, listen to him. He is our commander in chief, and he'll help us through. And then Peter says, if you do that, you're going to have for us a crown of life. God's going to reward you for that. And in 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 12, James says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, that stays with it, that stands through it, that goes through the battle. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him and believe in him. And oh, that's true. And that's, remember what Job said. He says, when I'm tried, and oh, did Job have troubles and trials. And he says, when I come out of that furnace, I'm going to come out as pure gold. And that's what I want to be, and that's what you want to be. We want to be pure gold for God. We want to be a strong servant of the Lord. We want to be somebody he can count on, somebody that has a heart for others and works for others. He never wants us ever to forget, to give up, to even think about it. He wants us to come through the fire and the furnace, just like the three Hebrew children. So what do we do? We do just like James says, count it all joy when you come to the battles, when you come to the struggles, when you come to the furnace, when you come to the storm, when you come to the end of your wits. Count it joy because you're in the battle and you're battling for Christ and His kingdom, and God bless His name. But the first thing you got to do is have Jesus. You have to receive Him into your life. You have to personally ask Him in to come into my life, take away my sins, make me your child. And then you have to dedicate your life to the Lord, and you have to live day by day following Him, working with Him. If you'd like literature, you write to us. Or if you want to send us a gift to help us in the work, we need your help. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002-2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can send us a gift on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. Now we're going to pray. Today we're praying for Lebanon. Dear Heavenly Father, we're praying for your people today who suffer for you. For our brothers and sisters in Lebanon who are going through the fire in the furnace right now, God Almighty, they're dying. Some of them are dying. And so just be close. I know you'll be close to them. And to those who are left behind, strengthen and encourage and help us to come through as pure gold. And to those who are on beds of sickness, and to those who are shut in, to those who are in wheelchairs or bedridden, oh God, help them to know that that's a battle too, and they can come through that as pure gold, shining for you, witnessing for you, loving you even when they got their aches and their pains, when that body is deteriorating, but the inner man is getting stronger. Oh, they can be a great warrior for you. Bless them, everyone, and tell them to take heart, oh God, and you'll help us to do that. And then we'll come like Job said, and when he's through with me, I'll be his pure gold. Thank you, dear Jesus. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we thank you for your time with us. Thank you for letting us come in. And I know some of you are having hard times. You just lean on Jesus. Ask for wisdom. Look at that book. Trust in book. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He'll carry you through. And oh, just be sure that you're trusting Jesus. And if you haven't, ask Him into your heart. And then tell Him you'll leave all your sins the best you can, and you follow Him the best you can. Just do that. And pray for us and pray for each other. And then, Lord willing, next week we'll gather again together around the feet of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.